Grace to all of you and peace from God our Father, our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who is active here in our midst this morning. Amen. So as Christians, it's kind of funny that some of the things that we believe in the most or that unite us together are things that are difficult to talk about. They're difficult to express. For instance, if someone asked what makes Christianity different than other religions, you might talk about the Trinity, the doctrine of the Trinity, that we believe in only one God. So we don't believe in many, many, many gods. That one God we know in three different ways, a Trinity, as Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. And then if they said, well, can you explain a Trinity to me? I'd say, no, I really can't. It's like too hard. I don't really understand it myself. Like, it's difficult to talk about the Trinity. But it's something that is so important. Like when I baptize somebody here, I baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Last week at confirmation, the confirmands stood up and they said the Apostles' Creed, which says we believe in God the Father, we believe in Jesus the Son, we believe in the Holy Spirit. When there's a new member class and we stand up here, they say the same thing, the Apostles' Creed, because that's what unites us together. That's what unites all Christians, is this concept of the Trinity, but it's just so hard to talk about, so hard to explain. We don't even know what to say about it. So I thought I would share with you a little bit about the Trinity today, not so much to make you understand it better, but to help you understand why it matters, like how it would change your life in any way. Because if it's just an idea that you learn about in confirmation, well, that really doesn't help you very much. But if you understand why it matters, why you should care, then maybe you'll remember it, and maybe the next time someone asks, you'll have a reasonable answer to give them. But to start off with, I mean, the Trinity, this whole concept, the fact that it's hard, I kind of like that. I kind of like the fact that the Trinity is difficult to understand, because we're talking about God here. I mean, God is unfathomable, isn't he? I mean, for him to be God, to be completely different than all of us, to be omnipresent, present everywhere, omnipotent, all-powerful, omniscient, to know everything. I mean, it's hard to categorize that kind of a thing in my language. It's hard to comprehend that. I know the words. I'm just saying, to really get at what that means is difficult. So the idea that the Trinity is hard to explain is okay with me in a way. I mean, it kind of makes sense. I'm never going to always be able to explain everything about God in a short sentence. But I think it matters that we at least talk about how it affects our lives, what it means, what it does to give our lives purpose. So first I want to talk about God the Father. What does it mean? Well, God is the creator. That's what it's talking about, that God created everything, created all of you, created me, created everything you see, created the things you don't see. God creates everything. And he doesn't just wind us up and then sort of let us go until we run out of juice. Like, he's paying attention to us. He sustains us. So in the traditional service, every week we say this, it's called a liturgy. They say the same words every week in certain parts of the service. And there's this one song where I sing, "And take not your Holy Spirit from me." And I remember learning about this in school. One of my teachers was saying the Holy Spirit, God himself, like the fact that we take a breath every day, like that's God. If God wanted to take away your breath, he could. And so every time when I'm singing this song in the traditional service, I say, "Take not your Holy Spirit from me." I'm literally thinking to myself, "Don't take me right now. Like, I need to finish the service." Like, because without God sustaining us through every moment, we would just die. I mean, that's what it means to believe that God is our Father. Like, that God is always involved. That God still cares. But why does it matter? Well, it creates an attitude of humility, first of all, that I am not the master of my own universe. I don't get to make decisions. I am a creation. He is the creator. So when we talk about the Bible has a lot of a lot of things in it. One of the things it has in it are a lot of rules, a lot of ways to live. And you might say, well, why do you follow the rules of the Bible? It's because I believe that God is my creator, so he gets to decide what I do. That's why. I mean, maybe I wouldn't come up with some of these rules. Maybe I don't like some of these rules. But I'm humble enough because I realize I'm the creation. I don't get to decide. He gets to decide for me. So I need to learn what he wants from me. I need to learn because I am the creation. So this is, it's that humility. But there's also an attitude of gratitude. To know that God has created everything and still sustains us. I'm smart. I feel like I'm a pretty smart person. But I realize that that is a gift from God. You know, I have a child who is at a one-year-old level, cognitively, through no fault of his own. I mean, this is, we kind of don't even know if we could blame anyone because it happened in the womb, is what the neurologists tell us, okay? Like 14 weeks old in the womb, something happened to his brain that they didn't know was really a problem until he was like a year old and he stopped hitting developmental delays. And I'm just saying, like, When I think about the things that I can do, I have to realize that's sort of out of my control. I mean, I can take pride in the fact that I got good grades or that I can write a sermon or these kind of things. I can take pride in that I'm intelligent, but I realize that's a gift. It's a gift from God that not everybody can get, and I should be thankful for what I have. Or the fact that, you know, when you have money, when you can buy a car, when you can have a house. I mean, all these things are things that you can be proud of. You work hard for it. But recognize that there are lots of people in the world that work hard. Not all of them have a car. Not all of them have a house. It's a gift from God that we have anything. All of the food that we receive. I mean, we can be grateful for it. We can recognize that some people in the world don't have this, and we can be grateful for what we have. And of course, we can try to help other people get the things as well, but we can at least have an attitude of gratitude. That's what it means to have God as our Father. That Jesus is our Savior, the second person of the Trinity. What does that mean? Well, it means that God loved us first. He sent Jesus to sacrifice for us. God is that kind of a God. He is a sacrificial God. Jesus says that he was our servant. Like, he washed his disciples' feet, and then he said, okay, if I'm washing your feet, what does that mean for you? It says you should wash other people's feet. Like, God is a servant to us, so he calls us to be servants to other people. It's that similar idea to humility, just thinking about it in a different way. That God forgives us, that we don't have to spend our life guilty for what we've done. When we turn away from it, when we repent, you don't have to worry about what you did yesterday, 10 years ago. We've all made mistakes, we all have histories, but we don't have to let that define the rest of our lives. When we've admitted that it's a sin, when we've turned away from it, God forgives us. We don't have to live the rest of our life with shame. And I think everyone is like, yeah, that sounds good. But then once you ask forgiveness and you do something bad again, that's when we really feel the shame. We're like, ugh. But it's the same thing. God never, it's not like a limit to that forgiveness. If you turn away from your sin again, even though you've done it 77 times, he will forgive you again and you can live your life free of that sin, that guilt, and that shame. So this is the kind of God we have. So we can live a different way. But it also changes how we live. Why does this matter, that we believe that the one God is like Jesus? Well, it means that we are called to forgive other people too. And I know that it's easy to say and much harder to do. What I would encourage you to remember is that forgiveness is a choice, not a feeling. So when somebody hurts your feelings, when somebody betrays you, you may be very angry with them, but I don't want that their sin to affect you for the rest of your life and have that guilt and that bitterness keep eating away at you. So you choose to forgive them. And then tomorrow you're probably going to have to choose to forgive them again because you're not going to feel it for a while. But you're going to choose to do it and you say, God, you get to deal with them. Right? They hurt me. I don't want to get them back though. You can deal with them when the time comes. That's what forgiveness is. It's a choice. It's a choice that we make, and maybe eventually you'll feel it too. But for now, maybe just stick with it as a choice. Because God loved us and forgave us when we were still his enemies. It's not that we showed him something good, that he responded to us. No, we respond to his forgiveness and his love by loving other people and forgiving them. So this is what it means to have the second part of the Trinity, Jesus. The third part is the Holy Spirit. I talked about the Holy Spirit a few weeks ago. What does it mean to have God as the Holy Spirit? I think one way that I like to understand it is that God is not just up there somewhere, the creator of all creation, and it's not just Jesus that was here in a body walking around, but that he is with us always. Like, he's a spirit. He can be here with me in Iowa and with my mom in Oklahoma. He's that kind of a God. And if it was just Jesus here, I couldn't believe Jesus was here and with my mom at the same time. Impossible. But he's a spirit. He's more than just that Jesus in a body. He is a spiritual being. He can be everywhere at once. And there is nothing that you might go through where God is not going through it with you. The Holy Spirit also, the thing that I think is really important about the Holy Spirit to understand is that God wants to use you. He's given you spiritual gifts. He wants to use you to make a difference in this world. He isn't going to just let the world be. He's going to be involved. He's going to be with you, and he's going to ask you to do things. He's going to speak to you through the Holy Spirit. He's going to inspire you to do things, to make a difference when you see that there's a problem out there. Like in that song, it says, I refuse to not... If God is calling me to do something, I believe that he can use me, that he can make a difference by using me in this life. So why does it matter? It means that we can't just sit in our homes and see problems in the world and not try to make a difference. Whether that's, maybe it's just through prayer, I understand, but we need to care. And sometimes we're going to have to do more than just do our thoughts and our prayers. We're going to have to actually go out and try to love other people and be God's hands and feet, which is maybe a cliche, but I think it's true. That's what the Holy Spirit does with us. So Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. There's more I could say, but I want to talk about how does this look practically, okay? What can knowing about the Trinity, Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, how can it affect our lives? And I was thinking about something. A lot of pastors right now have been talking about all the tragic shootings that have been happening in America. And I have been reticent to do so because I feel like it's really hard to talk about that without making it political. And I don't want to be political, especially when I'm up here. I have my opinions. You can ask me outside of church if you want to know. It's why I got off of Facebook, because I don't want to give those anymore. but here's the thing. Knowing about the Trinity can affect how we think and how we act about these issues of the shootings. We have God as our Father. That means God has created everyone. That means when you hear about 20-some kids in Texas being shot at school, those were all God's kids. Those were God's kids. it should break our hearts. The people in Ames that got shot, that should break our hearts, not just because they're in Iowa, but because that they're God's children, like God created. We should have our hearts broken that there are people that are shooting others, like somehow their mental health is in such a state, or that they've allowed this evil to overcome them to such a degree that they're willing to take the lives of other people in such a horrible way. We should care about them too, because God created all of creation very good. We may do evil things sometimes, but that doesn't mean that he still doesn't care about us, and we shouldn't care about those people, right? But that's what it means to have a father. That's what it means to care about this stuff, to pray about it, because we can't help ourselves. There is a story in the Old Testament, you've probably heard it before, about how Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt, and then they crossed a Red Sea. Do you remember this? And then all of Pharaoh and his chariots were following them in the Red Sea. And do you know what happens? The waters crush them, like fall in and kill all the the Pharaoh and all the Egyptians. And I remember hearing, I think I heard it in a sermon or on the radio, or maybe I read it, but I remember hearing this and saying God's heart was broken for all of those Egyptians who died in the Red Sea. I was like, what? It's like, yeah, God didn't want them to have to die. He may have even been the one who made it happen, but that didn't make him happy. His heart was broken for all that loss of life. I mean, if God could care about a bunch of dead Egyptians who were enslaving his people, like, I'm going to care about people who have been shot and killed, or even the people who are doing it because I have a God, a Father who's a creator that I know. But what does it mean to know Jesus? I think because we know Jesus Christ, we know that God is experiencing this tragedy with these people in a deep way. He is suffering with them. He understands what they're going through. And I think we should realize that we need to have that same kind of compassion. If somebody is going through something difficult in your life, you don't necessarily need to have an answer to fix their problem. You can just sit with them and suffer with them, struggle with them, experience that pain with them. That's what God did for us. He experienced our pain. We can do the same thing with other people. And this other part, though, I just feel like it's important, is to remember that God is a forgiving God. So now it's hard for me to imagine getting to a place where I can forgive some of the people who do these tragic things, but I also don't want to be the judge and jury of them either and decide how horrible they are and how they should be condemned forever, this kind of thing. So I would just encourage you to remember to leave your heart open, let God do the judging. That doesn't mean we can't hold people accountable to our laws, but let God do the judging, and we'll focus on loving. But the final thing, and I think this is a really important part, since we believe that God is a Holy Spirit, remember, he empowers us to do something. What we do, well, that's politics, right? You can decide what you think needs to be done. But here's my encouragement. Let's do something. Because in America, we have a problem that no other country seems to have. People just keep getting shot, whether it's in Connecticut, a decade ago, whether it's in Iowa, a week ago, whether it's in Texas, 2 weeks ago, people just keep getting shot. And I don't know what the right answer is, but I know that they have evil all over the world, but we're the only ones dealing with this problem constantly. So what you do, that can be a political answer. But the fact that you have a God who is a Holy Spirit calling you to do something, that's important for us to know. God will use you to do something important. God has given you gifts. That means not everybody is going to go to the legislature and hold up signs. Some people are going to stay home and pray because that's the gift that God's given you. Some people are going to donate money because God has given you the gift of giving. Some people are going to go and talk to or be mental health advisors. They're going to deal with people in schools. They're going to want to talk to their children and find out what's going on. Some people are going to be the first responders to deal with situations when they come up. We all have different gifts, but we need to do something because that's the kind of God we have. He doesn't just watch and say, our thoughts and prayers go out to the people, all the many people who have died. But he says, let's do more than just do thoughts and prayers. Let's go and get out there and get our hands dirty and find out what can be done, if anything, to make this kind of stuff stop. So that's what it means to have a God who's a Trinity. I hope that it makes some difference to you. I hope that the next time someone asks, what do you believe? It's say, I believe that I have a God that created me so I can be humble and grateful for everything I have. That God has given me his son Jesus so I can be forgiving and I can be a servant to others. And that God is a Holy Spirit that calls me to do something to make a difference, to love the world that he has blessed me with. So I hope that makes a difference in your life. I hope that it leads you to a life of purpose from today and onward. Amen.